In fact, we are just talking. Howdy and welcome. My name is Mike and I am a photographer and this is my podcast. And it is about photography, especially on days like today. Just like all photographers, I have been home much more than would have liked to. And in that time, in this 2 years, exactly 2 years, March 2020 is when I opened up shop. So I've had plenty of time just to sit and actually do something I didn't do beforehand, was watch other photographers. And yeah, there have been some guys who have kind of muddled through this, and I didn't believe that that was an option for me. And I think it was the best option for me to lay back in the cut and not get too carried away. That all changes last month because I'm on the road and actually selling pictures. But in that time, in that 2 years, I've been able to watch other photographers. And if you were to go by what you see on television and the internet, you would think that every photographer is 22 years old, most likely female, has very, very skinny pants and a wool hat in July. And I'm not, you know, I know folks are real sensitive nowadays. I'm not knocking these guys, but that's what they look like. That's what YouTube presents. It literally, YouTube hasn't, I went to a seminar with YouTube in Phoenix with Google and Facebook, and they literally explained to you how it works. What skin tone, the algorithm, you've heard that word before, is not some kind of basic click and clack sort of pick and choose thing. No, it is an intricate, well-planned, decisive, surgical machine. And according to what Google and Facebook tell me at a seminar, they are looking for keywords in what you say in your videos so they can curate, another millennial word, these videos to the demographic of 18 to 35, which is how it's been our entire lives. 18 to 35 is where the money is. I'm 50 years old and I don't spend much money on anything. $3.89 a gallon on gas, but that's about it. They curate to the algorithm, literally picks female voices first, literally picks female fair skin tones first. Yeah, the algorithm is racist and sexist, because if you are a dark-skinned man with a low voice, you're not likely going to get picked. It's just like network television. I mean, in one way, it's sort of fair, because it's just like network television. There are so many users on a platform, so they have to cater to that amount of users. Now, if there were, you know, if they had every person on the planet as a user on this platform with, you know, photography folks, excuse me for a second while I pull a tag out of this shirt, it's itching the daylights out of me. If they had, you know, one of every type of user and every genre, then yeah, then it would make sense to have a deep voiced, dark skinned man living in a van and push his videos to the front. When you search something, you rarely even get anything more than the first 10 results, if that much. You more than likely get the first 6 or 7 results, and I'm guaranteeing you anything you search on YouTube, likely the first 7 results will be a fair-skinned person and most likely a female. That's what the algorithm wants. The algorithm is surgical, baby. It's not a joke. That's how they make money. The algorithm is YouTube's first resource at making money. The algorithm is TikTok's first resource at making money. So if it detects cleavage, yoga pants, high-pitched voice, fair skin, blonde hair, you are pushed to the front. If you're dancing, you are pushed to the front. If you're a fair-skinned 17 or less male with shiny lips, the algorithm can select those traits. Sounds a lot like eugenics, almost. It selects certain physical and video traits that it's looking for, certain music, certain whatever. It searches for certain things. Smiles. It can pick up smiles. Your phone can pick up your smile, and it'll snap a picture when it sees you smile. What do you think the algorithm can do? When you upload a video and it processes that video, it's what it's looking for. It's looking for copyright infringements as well, but it's also looking for traits. And this is our thing. This is what we got. And since the photography pool is so finite, it is a fairly small pool. Makeup is a huge pool. Breast augmentation is a huge pool. Dermatology is a huge pool. Cars used to be a huge pool, but that has died off significantly in the last 5 years. Lifestyle is a huge pool. If you're going to, you know, Fiji and taking pictures and vlogging and stuff like that, then yeah, they know. And if it hears Casey Neistat's voice, it knows Casey Neistat's voice. It knows his face. And if he shows up in one of your videos, it will push that video to the front. Don't believe me? Try me. Do it without saying anything. Don't say it out loud. But if you know Casey Neistat and he's never been in one of your videos, put him in the video and don't mention his name and don't acknowledge his presence. Just have him stand there and watch what happens to your video views. This is the system we got. This is how it works. And they're a business and they know what sells. And unfortunately, young boys sell, which is near and dear to my heart, because to hear that what happens with the algorithm and shiny-lipped young boys dancing and showing their body, it's not for little girls. See, the demographic for performers is 18 to 35. Probably 18 to 25. The buying audience, the one who watches all the ads, the ones who matter, they're the ones who are in the demographic of 40 to 70 years old, white male, looking for dancing boys. Isn't that awesome? TikTok, YouTube, that's where the money is. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way things work. And, you know, from my past and my experience as a 14-year-old boy in New York, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. You know what I mean? Because essentially our society is feeding the people who hurt little boys. And that's especially scary for me. Well, what are you going to do? But I've had the opportunity to watch these younger guys. And you know what? Here's an odd question. I'm watching, who was the name? Mango Street. They always have some sort of trendy name. And we had trendy too. We had B-Boys and Lee Jeans and Run DMC. We had our trendy too. And everybody will, and the next generation will have their time. My 11-year-old son will change things in 10 years in a big way. Because he'll be in that 18 to 35 demographic. And the skinny jeans and the wool hats will go away. Just like yuppies. Remember yuppies? Yuppies are gone. I think yuppies are like boomers, right? I think. I don't know. But I'm Gen X. the tough as nails generation who doesn't care about you hating each other for some reason. And I guess that's true. We are a family of two children, Gen X and Gen Z, with the parents being the boomers. So the baby is rebelling against the parents. And the first child doesn't really care. You can do whatever you want. I got stuff to do. I grew up with Smashing Pumpkins and Onyx, so I don't really need your attention. You didn't give it to me back then, so I don't need it now. But Gen Z is a screaming child that always wants the attention and everything to be perfect. I don't know. I had a weird thought. I had an odd thought while I was watching Mango Street's video. Because they make, you know, it's always good to go through and find channels like that who have good info, despite their clothing choices. Does that mean I'm getting old? Three things that make you get that show you're old. One, when you complain about the price of a soda. And two, when you complain about everybody's clothing. And, you know, I don't know, I guess I've always been like a suit and tie. I wore a suit and tie to school, so in elementary school. So that's a whole nother story. But I'm watching Mango Street's video and it hits me. Remember how they used to pull the plug? You'd be on your deathbed, grandpa, grandma, your wife or whoever your husband would be on his deathbed after some traumatic car accident. And the doctor would come in and ask you the question, do you want to pull the plug? When millennials are on their deathbed, are they going to pull the plug or do they just disconnect the Wi-Fi and then they go on to the afterlife? I don't know. Odd thought. I have a lot of odd thoughts, by the way. Oh, God. And I'm a little bit concerned. You know, on the photography tip, I'm a little bit concerned about what Lightroom is doing to photography. Lightroom is, when I first heard of Lightroom, it was a paid app. You pay for the app, you download it to your Windows computer, and bingo, it's, you know, you're in business, you're working. Every once in a while, there's an update, and then you buy a whole new version when a new version comes out. Now, which to my great displeasure, the Lightroom, Adobe, is charging. And if I'm not mistaken, Adobe is Apple, isn't it? Aren't they sister companies or something like that? But Adobe is charging monthly. So they want a cut of your money for the rest of your life. I'm not cool with that, and neither should you be. But then again, in our society, these companies push, and all we do is protest. So nothing will ever change as long as they push, and all we do is protest. If we hit them in the pockets, things will change. But what do I know? You know what I mean? There's a black guy from New Jersey. But they want to charge and make you pay for the rest of your life for this thing, for storage and so forth and so on, which honestly, storage, I'm really not paying. I may pay for the app, but I'm certainly not paying for storage because, you know, these photos are not yours to keep. When you find, you know, some lost film somewhere and it's from some photography studio in Billings, Montana, that studio's not there anymore. That guy's been dead for 20 years. He doesn't give a shit about all those negatives, boxes and boxes and boxes of negatives. It makes no difference in his life. So if you're keeping decades worth of raw files, that's a mistake. That is an obvious, glaring mistake. You should not be keeping raw files. You should be deleting these things. I mean, if it's a significant work, it's got to go. But there's no reason to have some, you know, warehouse full of, you know, data that will eventually corrupt and you will eventually lose. Because that's what data does. Print the good ones and the rest are just good memories. And that's all that is. But back to Lightroom, on the non-storage side, they want to make you pay for storage, but they also want to make you pay for editing. But what I'm noticing, and what I haven't heard anybody mention yet, is Lightroom is slowly steering everyone in the same direction. And this is kind of the sad point, is that Lightroom is such a capable app. It has such power over an image that is just unseen, unheard of in the last 100 years of photography. And to see every photographer, every portfolio, when I first started out, I went to other photographers' websites and everything, see how they had it set up, see how their pricing was, make sure I was at or above their pricing. Without reservation, every photographer's website, orange and teal, sunset, burgundy, dark red, the same 4 or 5 colors, every photographer is doing the same style. I don't know if this is a normal thing, but, is it like every generation has a particular style? Like we were all black and white, and checkerboard stuff and all that, but to see every photographer, almost without reservation, subscribe to Lightroom, and then all of them falling down the same rabbit hole, clicking the same buttons in Lightroom. As a matter of fact, even buying the same buttons in Lightroom from other photographers. Presets. So wait, let me get this straight. You want me to buy your style and put it on my picture? Now, I have the benefit of seeing this from the outside. I'm an outsider just coming in the last couple of years as a sell my picture photographer, not just shooting for the fun of it photographer. And one glaring observation is you guys are selling each other's work. And maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to happen. But for sure, every video, shoot like Peter McKinnon, shoot like this guy, shoot like that guy, shoot like this guy, shoot. Buy my presets. I have presets. I have LUTs. I have LUTs. I have presets. So these new photographers that are coming into the game are buying your style and just copying, pasting it over their pictures? I don't see that as good. I don't see that as a benefit. For production work, it may be okay because you're selling these pictures. And just like when I was a kid, everybody had glamour shots and that was production work. So everybody had that same, it was airbrushed, that same airbrushed picture with you looking off into the distance. And then one where you're looking right down the barrel of the camera. That was my generation. So maybe that's this generation's version of glamour shots. Or Sears or JCPenney's, where it was always that same picture over and over and over again, and everybody has that same picture. Is that what this is? And that's fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying that, you see what I'm saying? But, then again, like I said, in 10 years, my son will be 20 years old, and they'll be doing God knows what. They'll probably be doing holograms with their pictures. Who knows? But I like the thing about disconnecting the Wi-Fi. If you disconnect the Wi-Fi, does a millennial die? Oh, God. Oh, God. You guys are so... God love you. I love you to death. I love you to death, and I wish all of you the best. But you guys are some gentle beings. where did I go? I went somewhere. This was probably like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I went to some office building, some meeting, and the lady went to turn on the lights after the project. They turned off the projector, and she said, "Okay, everybody, shield your eyes." So I was like, "Well, is she gonna fire a laser or something? Why?" And then she turns on the lights in the room, and she was basically telling everyone to shield their eyes because of the light being turned on in a normal room. And I'm going to put a name on it. I'm going to coin it helicopter momitis, because these are all direct reflective influences of helicopter moms overprotecting their kids. And honestly, that's what it is. It's cute as a button, funny as the day is long. I mean, I just like watching it. I know nothing's going to change. It'll all change when we're all dead. That's about it. But it is very highly entertaining to watch how these different trends come and go. And I love the show Star Trek, and I've been watching the new one, Star Trek Discovery, with the girl from Orange is the New Black. And I love the show, but it has these moments where it dips off into these stories. Like every time somebody has a problem, the other person has to tell them a relatable story. "I felt scared too, but blah, blah, blah." I don't know. I didn't grow up like that. I mean, it's good that people are helping each other now, but I didn't grow up like that. There was nobody to help you. When you fell off of your bike in the woods, you had a choice. You die there or you limp home with your bent rim on your flat tire. Those are your choices. No one was there to help us. Nobody. And it's weird to see the changes. You know, that now, even on Star Trek Discovery, every 7 minutes, there's a pep talk. And then there's, you know, and the one thing I don't like, Hollywood always has its tropes, you know, stereotypical black guy, stereotypical white office guy, stereotypical this, but they have this stereotypical thing, this new stereotype of the awkward millennial. And that is an act. It's an affect. Like, just like the thing where women from California do that thing where they drag out the last note of every word, or people from New York and New Jersey, like me, they put a T at the end of every D. Yeah, listen for that. Listen for that. Everybody from New York and New Jersey, you can tell, no matter what accent, they're Staten Island, they're Jersey City, they're Atlantic City, Upper Manhattan, upstate New York, Staten Island, they all do the same thing. And it has to be organic. I'm thinking about it now, so I'm not going to do it. But if you say a word that begins and ends in a D, in 90% of the cases, we put an unnecessary T on the end of it. It's an affect. Just like the women from California, where they drag out the last bit of every word. But that affect of the... And I'm going to call it a trope. I'm calling my first trope, my first Hollywood trope, the trope of the awkward millennial. And it's an act. It's 100% an act. And it's an affect that you do not need to carry. If you talk with a lisp, that is a physical impediment, and there's nothing you can do. There is surgery you could do to change it, but it may or may not work. But it is something that happens without influence. And this affect of the overly awkward millennial is all over Star Trek Discovery. Every kid on the plane, every kid on the spaceship does that weird, like, I don't know. It's cute. It's funny. What are you going to do? It's life. You know, there's these cycles that we go through. Oh, man. I like that. When you unplug the wife, when a millennial's on his deathbed in 50 years, and he's got his grandkids around the bed, and the doctor comes in the room, and he says, "Well, Mrs. Johnson, he's lost all brain activity, and now it's time for a tough decision. Do you want to unplug the Wi-Fi?" I really hope I didn't just predict something. Because if Elon Musk puts a chip in your head and you disconnect from the Wi-Fi, do you die? That's a good question. If you get a chip in your head, like Elon Musk wants to do, so your brain's on the internet, when you unplug when you lose signal, do you shut down? Do you die? I don't know. These are all good questions. These are all good questions. Good scary. Good scary questions. Oh God, I entertain myself quite well during the day, and I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of fun, and you know, there is something that scares me. We have, and with YouTube, and as awesome as it is, you know, how do I say this? I mean, there comes a point when technicality imposes on creative satisfaction. But then again, there is a line between art and production. Baby photos are not art, they're production. Wedding photos are not art, they're production. Street photography, that's art. That's not production. And sometimes heavily, heavily polished art that takes a lot of work, a ton of work. Know what I mean? And I don't see those two worlds intermingling much, but I do see the influence of the technicality on the YouTube side, the technicality, where everything is about, oh, you need to have a 1.2 lens, and you need to have this new Nikon R7, and this aperture 20D light. Everything on YouTube, photography-wise, is about buying gear. 99%. There are one or two channels out there that delve into the art of photography. Not art that happened 100 years ago and we're going to run over the masters again and again and again, but new artists that are doing new things that don't involve neon lights and their friends in their apartment. But people who are structuring pictures like Salvador Dali, and people who are doing amazing things with reflected light into a camera. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the unfortunate but kind of mandatory thing where we're going to lose a couple good artists because nothing screams louder lately than buy this piece of gear. You need this piece of gear to be good. And you can see it watching a professional photographer, you can see it just behind his eyes that this is all bullshit. I shot some of my best pictures with my phone. I shot some of my best pictures with a Rebel. I shot some of my best pictures on an old film camera. Brissant had, they gave him that camera. And if he had his druthers, he likely would have chosen something much better. But if you look at the video, he is literally jumping around taking pictures. No tripod, no flash, no nothing. Just jumping around trying to take pictures. Yeah, there's a video of Prasant after the war, like just busting his ass to get the shot. And I'm sure he would have loved to have better equipment. But you know, that's something that you kind of have to learn on your own, I guess. That your camera is the extension of you, like a hammer in a carpenter's hand. So when do you get to that point where you realize that your technicality is imposing on your creative satisfaction? I have to do production work, so I can't do as much artistic stuff as I'd like to. But I would certainly like to forget the spoon and see the sky. You know what I mean? Well, what are you going to do? World's on fire. Oh, God, the world's on fire and everything's a mess. We just got out of one major historic event into another major historic event. And that has been the cycle for nearly 3 years now. For nearly 3 years, we have with just like it's almost exhausting to the point where it's funny that the world is going effing bananas. Is going effing bananas. And there's not a ton you could do about it. When two elephants are fighting, usually all the other elephants stay out of it, and they let them clear the air. But who pays the price? The grass. The grass pays the price. And in this case, we are the grass, and the elephants are fighting again over something that we have no control over and no say in. And we will pay the price. We have, you know, and I see the check coming due. Prosperity, the American dream, that was a loan. That was a loan that we all co-signed on back in the late 60s, early 70s. We co-signed on that loan, and for all intents and purposes, prosperity, as if it was a bank loan, we're upside down. We've been upside down for a long time. But the bank doesn't care if you're upside down on your loan. Bank doesn't give a shit. Bank just wants more money out of you. And at this point, we are upside down on the loan that is prosperity. And I'm not sure what to expect from these two elephants that are fighting. It's almost a little bit scary. The good news is, God willing, I'll have a camera in my hand to document what I can and take pictures of what I can. It's a little scary, but we're going to be all right. We're going to be just fine. Oh, man. Something that's almost as scary, and something that's almost as scary is the public's expectation of what a good picture looks like. And yes, I am a huge proponent of get the shot, no matter the camera. If it's a cell phone, get the shot of the baby doing their first slam dunk or whatever the case is. It's blurry. Some of my favorite pictures are blurry shit pictures. But if you can, get it nice. And one thing's for sure, and I'll put it to you this way, and this is something I'm asking you as a photographer. For all the photographers listening, I'm asking you, and for all the people who are not photographers and you're listening, I'm asking you as a private individual. And photographers can put this in their sales pitch. Can you cut your own hair? Can you cut your own bangs? Can you? Can you do a perfect fade? There's a couple people who can. But for the most part, all of us go to the barbershop. That's why they exist. Because you cannot cut your own hair. And at this point, I think it's more important than ever that you get a professional portrait. Because if you think ahead, what do you want to show to great-grandkids? You want to show them some crappy, you know, photos that blah, 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 blurry and, you know, shot with a cell phone 20 years ago in 2023, you know, it's 2040, 40, whatever, and you're showing them old blurry pictures you took with your cell phone, but then you come across that one good, high-key, low-key, natural, relaxed, happy, period point in your life portrait. That's important because you're putting that image in your kid's head, and that's how they will revere you. That's how they will remember you. So how much more important is it for you to have that picture? Because sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. Tom Hanks was on that island for 5 years, and all he had was that one picture until it was gone, till he drew it from memory. That's how important one picture can be. But as a photographer, I'm saying make it a good one. Make it count. And the same way that you cannot cut your own hair, if you are a private individual listening to my voice, the same way you cannot cut your own hair, you cannot take your own portrait. You can't. We are not designed. That is a blessing that we have as human beings, is that for that to happen, for that portrait to be painted or taken with a photograph, there has to be someone there who's trained in the psychology and art and love of the task. And you cannot take your own portrait. I tried for a year. The first year of the pandemic, I took self-portraits just to stay busy and to learn. And I learned more about myself than anything else. That who I am as a person in those pictures. And I'm a person, and I spent 15 years with a relatively not nice person, but one thing they taught me was the importance of the face, which couldn't be a more important lesson in my life now. And I would ask, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? And she taught me, hey, this is what this face means. This is what that face means. See, I come from a background where I don't care what's on your face. I'm here to do a thing. I don't care what you think, how you feel. I'm here to do a thing, to do a job. You didn't pay up. Now it's time to pay up. So I don't care what you think or what you say. And that's how I grew up. But now I'm in a new phase of my life where nothing could be more important than what people say and how what people feel. And what's on their face, what's written all over their face. And one thing for sure, from looking at my own pictures and looking at Toulouse-Lautrec's picture, and who's the one who cut off his ear? Looking at all these painters' self-portraits, you can see the apprehension in the picture. And that's something that I couldn't escape. I couldn't escape this look of apprehension. There's a little bit of tension in the picture. But when I take other people's portraits, I can see clearly that moment of relaxation, that moment of the break of the mask, where that person is just relaxed. So do yourself a favor and do future generations a favor. and get a good portrait. Not some 45 degree angle, 15 millimeter distorted lens selfie on a cell phone where your eyes are all distorted and your chin is weird, but it looks normal to you because that's how you see yourself every day. You know that thing on TikTok where they were flipping the pictures and seeing themselves for the first time? Because when you look in the mirror, the image is reversed. You're looking at a backwards picture of your face. And they were doing this thing on TikTok where they were literally disoriented by looking at their own face flipped. And that was a huge worldwide psychology event where we all at one time took a selfie, flipped it, and looked at ourselves. When that girl got on TikTok, when iPhone was doing the thing where you can use the telephoto as opposed to using the wide angle, and she used the telephoto to take her picture and told the world, wasn't a photographer, told the world that, look at this, look at my face. It was a different person almost. The telephoto, and which is what a lot of portrait photographers use, is a staple. The 70 to 200 is a staple of portrait photographers. 80 millimeter, 105 millimeter, 50 millimeter, those are all staples of the portrait photographer, and not a goddamn one of them is on your phone. And just recently, there was kind of a telephoto, and iPhone has given you the ability to use it independently and choose it and take a portrait of yourself. And look at the difference. You're beautiful. You're absolutely beautiful, just the way you are. But that wide-angle lens changes all that, and you lose. You lose in that. Well, what do I know? I'm just a black guy in an RV with a giant logo on the side of it. by the way, I don't have Segways. And just as a side note, I painted a giant Zia symbol, the state symbol for New Mexico, on the side of this RV, and it draws so much attention. It's like I'm driving a billboard. And at first, there was just the giant Zia, and there was a poorly drawn lens in the middle, camera lens in the middle, and to replace the sun. Now I put my phone number on it, and I got to write portrait. I got to get out there and actually write the word portrait on it so people don't think I'm some homeless RV guy trying to break down in front of their house. These windows are dirty. And it is drawing immense amounts of attention. Everywhere I go, people are looking at this truck. I can't express to you how grateful I am of making a good decision, of making a halfway good decision where it works. And I don't make too many of those. I make a few good ones. But this is one of the more amazing out front ones where, like, oh my God, I don't have to pay rent. I don't have to pay mortgage. I got a nice warm bed. I got a computer monitor and a computer and a tablet and internet and a bathroom and a tub and a shower and a stove and a steering wheel and storage for camera stuff and food. I got a refrigerator full of food. I'm even learning how to cook tofu because I'm trying to lower my blood pressure. You know, give me a break, will you? And it is just such a phenomenal blessing not to be stressed about that, at least. I have enough to be stressed about, but that ain't one of them. Where I'm going to be, what I'm going to eat is not a stressful decision. All I got to do, I got a bunch of places marked on the map, and I'm never leaving the state. I'm not that kind of RV person. I'm not traveling the country. I'm traveling my state. and which really makes things a lot easier. But only thing I got to do is look for the 18-wheelers, the trucks, park right next to them, run my generator for a little while, and that's it. I'm good. Put my solar panels out, because if I attach them to the roof, they're on a bad angle, number one. If you lay a solar panel flat, then you lose a lot of actual usable sun. So I actually put them out on the ground when I'm just sitting for one day, and I'm good. I'm good. And I hope you're good too. I hope you're okay, because not being a photographer is one of those things where it was not an easy thing to do for the last 2 years. If you're a bar owner, a restaurant owner, a movie theater owner, you own a dollar store, a dollar movie. These were all very, very tough situations to be in, because not only did you have your mortgage, rent, and car payment, but you had your mortgage and rent and whatever on your restaurant. And you know, now that I drive around town, I see a lot of restaurants that were there 2 years ago. But now that it's just an empty storefront, a lot of broken windows here in town. We'll bounce back if we don't nuke each other. But holy cow, if you're a photographer, I wish you the best. And I hope you find out how great it is to have a studio on wheels. You know, the next RV is going to be a little bit different. I'm probably going school bus. It's 7.5 feet wide. I'm going to do it very differently than they do on the internet, on the YouTube. They try to squeeze everything from their house into a school bus, which is not the point. You know, it's just me and my son now. So I'm basically, and he'll be moving out in 4 short years. So, I'm just going to build it like a loft. I'm going to put a clawfoot iron tub in with shower curtain. That's going to be the shower. Toilet's going to be in the back, way in the back. The bed is going to be, the bed is going to double as a sofa. Not that flip down thing, but it's going to be a full on bed and with a bazillion pillows on it. And that's how it's going to be. And there's going to be a ton of room that will be used for an actual portrait studio. Put that on your taxes and smoke it. I don't know. These are the things that have been on my mind. A couple afterthoughts. A couple things that cross my mind, mostly when I'm driving. The one thing's for sure, and I need your help on this, calling all photographers. We need to bend the public's expectation of what a good picture should be. We need to all team up together and help. The same way Lightroom helps us to edit pictures the way that they want us to, we need to get together and help people realize what a good portrait of them means. Of course, people aren't displaying art like they used to, but we need to get together and change the public's expectation of what a good picture is. And just because it's convenient and it's on your phone doesn't mean it's good. So help me with that, will you? Will you do one thing with your life today? Because we don't do anything. All we do is push a button, right? Anyways, that's what's on my mind. I have to cook dinner. I hope you guys have a good evening. I hope you guys have a good day. And I hope Ukraine shoves one too many fingers up Putin's butt. You guys have a good night. I'll talk to you next time.